Hey, what's up, everybody, man? It's another episode of the D-Start Show. I would like to say congratulations to all the 2023 graduates this year. And also, guys, we lost a legend, Tina Turner. She died at the age of 83. Rest in peace, Tina Turner.
What's going on, gang?
It's just me and you right now. I guess rest on trying to level up, but what's going on with you?
Nothing much, just recovering. Just wrapped up Aiden's kindergarten year, so he is a 2023 kindergarten graduate. Just preparing for his summer, working. That's about it. What's been going on with you?
And then, but same thing, working, man, trying to get prepared for this Orlando trip, you know, get right, you know.
Yeah, we hit Orlando.
You know, this Leo season, so.
In full effect. We got three Leos on the show, like we always say. So it's going to be a pretty good Leo season this year.
Yeah. So I think the thing in Orlando is going to really turn out pretty nice.
I agree. And we're still working on our community outreach event to feed the homeless. So D will definitely be having an update on that soon.
Yes, I was actually out. Me and Kevin both going to be out tomorrow to see if we can get some grants from some local stores and stuff like that to help us out.
Getting some stuff.
I got an appointment tomorrow with P&G.
Okay.
So if they can donate some stuff, like you were saying, make bags and stuff, that'd be great also.
Absolutely. If we have any local Cincinnati localers, I don't know. Is localers a word?
Is that local? You know, we make up words, right?
We do. We got to make up words. But if we got any Cincinnati locals, area locals, in Ohio that would like to donate for the D-Star show to help the homeless, you're more than welcome to write us and we'll definitely figure that out. But we definitely appreciate all of our listeners, the listening letters that we get. We haven't read a listening letter in a while.
Yeah.
Have we had any?
We have, man, but you know, I haven't got together to send them in the group yet, but some of them just be like outrageous. I know we had one that write in. Me and Jordan just did an inside laugh on that one. I don't think we should share that one on the show. We'll probably do it as a meeting or something.
Oh, goodness. Is that bad?
Yeah, definitely not.
Was that bad?
It came after one of the cast members. So, and that cast member going to go to hell off if we do
that. Oh, no. Yeah, who's triggered. The cast member? You might as well say it now.
I mean, listen, it's the only one that ain't here.
No, it's two of them ain't here, Kiva and Calvin.
Oh shit. All right. Man, we gonna talk about that on the meeting.
What? No, you gotta say it on the air.
Hey, I know Calvin gonna go the fuck off. I mean, my bad.
Not my
boy. My bad, Jordan. I tried to hold it.
Out of all people, somebody wrote and said something about Calvin.
What they say?
We can't do it on the air.
Talk about it on the air. We're gonna talk about it in the chat. But we're gonna talk about that. Because what? But anyway, we're gonna be working on. As we travel and we all get together because we all are spaced out amongst like Indiana, Ohio. So once we get together, we're going to try to do more live shows as we're sitting together and recording them so we can get the YouTube rolling. So y'all can see the voices behind see the faces behind the voices. So stay tuned for that as well. Kiva, what we got in international news?
Okay, so international news, you guys. The main topic that I had wanted to speak about was, so back in 2018, there was an article that was released about a young lady, a white young lady who had had a DUI. She had been drinking. She had gotten into a really horrible car accident. She had killed four black women. So I'm going to read to you guys pretty briefly the article about it, but just giving you guys some background. She killed these women. She was booked maybe a few hours later once they did her drug alcohol levels. A few hours later, she was then, of course, like under the legal limit, but if she had sat for hours, she had time to, you know, come down. Nonetheless, she was still charged with murder and she's just now being sentenced. So it says there's an outrage for the immediate reaction for the many of the Many took the 4-year prison sentence handed down to a white woman that was accused of killing 4 black mothers in a DUI car crash. And this was in April 2018. Cousins Rosalind Felton, Shaquilla Smith, Cambria Smith, and Tierra Chambers were leaving the Breeze Bar just outside of Orlando, Florida, after what family members call a rare night out for the mothers of combined age children. After making a left turn into State Road, they were T-boned. The cousin's vehicle, which was a white Malibu truck, a little after 2 p.m., had flipped over, and it was reported that the driver, last name Finley, was the lady who hit them, was going at 59 miles per hour, 24 miles over the
59
speed.
59 miles per hour?
Yeah, so she was going 24 miles per hour over the speed limit at the point of the collision. Also, a blood alcohol content test administered 5 hours after. So remember how I said they gave her her blood alcohol content test hours later. And she was, so hours later, it says that she was at 0.8%, which is, that is the legal limit. So imagine how drunk she was if at 5 hours later from the crash, she was at 0.8. And that's like the legal limit. She was fucked up beforehand. So at the onset of those proceedings, prosecutors cited issues with the evidence of the case. The state attorney, Chris Small, at the time had highlighted the minor problems with the video and things like that. But right now, what's going on in that Florida county is that a lot of people are outraged that this woman that's now being sentenced is only being sentenced to 4 years. There's people in jail doing longer time for possession of marijuana. You took 4 people's lives and you're only getting 4 years. So that's coming off to me that is like the life of these young ladies is only worth a year of life. You know, life, you're only getting a year. And I think that is such a...
Shorty gotta know somebody.
But these were black women who were killed, black young mothers who were killed in this tragic accident. And there was it's a white woman who was doing the driving. And I think race always sometimes plays a part, because I really just think if the roles were reversed and a black woman was driving, speeding, drunk, and killed 4 white mothers who's on a rare night out because they don't get out that often, she would not only be facing 4 years in of jail time. I think it would be at an extremely higher rate, probably would have got the max of whatever the time was. And I just don't think it's fair. And I'm not saying that even the woman deserves to spend the rest of her life in jail, but 4 years is very light for taking 4 lives. People murder people all the time purposely and get more time than that for killing one person. So like,
it's real frustrating, because y'all remember that Hispanic truck driver that couldn't stop his truck because he was a new truck driver and he tried to use the escape ramp, and he got 99 plus years of jail for that crash, which was something that he could not control. He was not intoxicated.
And it ended up being something wrong with the truck. And with the truck. Because the semis had boycotted and they wouldn't move their semis.
Yeah. So I remember that happening. With that, again, a minority being sentenced to the fullest capability of the law because there were white lives that were lost. I really just think that the legal system needs to make a change. There should be a minimum no matter where you are, but it becomes state law and federal law. When things are handled at state level, they can handle it however they choose. So if a judge say they're not going to prosecute somebody, they're just not going to do it. There's no one to hold these judges accountable or these prosecutors accountable because they are the law. So it's really frustrating that people aren't getting the punishments that they deserve. Those kids are never going to get their mothers back. Those families are never going to get their family member back. And you get to see your family again in 4 years. That's for true. 4 deaths, you only got 4 years. They should have smacked her ass over the head with plus life. Like 99 years plus 15 or something. Like, it should have been something ridiculous. The same way they be smacking black folks over the head, you get life plus 5 years. Like, you get and your body still belongs to the state after you die.
How the fuck y'all live with yourself with that shit? That's some bullshit.
Yeah, it's really
funny. Yeah, I think that is like just super lenient, like literally only 4 years for 4 lives lost. And just thinking about the alcohol level. So if she was driving at this time, and there's a video out, you can YouTube it, you can search it on Google. There's a video out of kind of like the interaction with her and the police at that time. And she was obviously like kind of incoherent, but imagine 5 to 6 hours later, you're getting blood tested to see what your alcohol levels are. And you're
right at the legal limit. 5 hours later, that means she probably was about double the legal limit, you know, while driving.
Man, that's just embarrassing. Motherfucker gave me a $200 ticket for not a goddamn, not having a tag. And this motherfucker killed 4 people and get 4 years? Come on, man.
Yeah, so that's something that I have wanted to touch bases on, you guys. That was pretty heavy for international news, so that's all I got. But I definitely wanted to just kind of bring and shine a light on that and, like, how sentencing and the judicial system and just the judgments and things that here in the United States, I mean, it's just so unfair sometimes. And it's like almost like a blatant slap in the face when you have certain situations like that and people are just getting kind of almost like a slap on the wrist or the bare minimum. And then, you know, in your soul, like if the roles were reversed, it would be a totally different situation. So that kind of had touched me in a way. So I wanted to give you guys that and shed some light on that.
Hey, I got Nakiva, I know I sent you an article. And I want to read a little bit about it. We had two separate articles. The one that I sent you was about a young lady. She was 24 years old. She pled guilty to aggravated DUI and aggravated reckless driving in Illinois. She killed, I think, 4 people or 2 people. She hit them while they was crossing the street outside of the bar. I guess they just left. And she's facing 28 years in prison. Well, she's facing a range of 6 to 28 years in prison. And it's crazy because it says Illinois law must serve at least 85% of her sentence. So whatever she gets, she got to serve at least 85% of her sentence. But it's just like, yo, man, bro, don't. If you too fucked up, bro, don't drink and drive, bro. Because 9 times out of 10, you going to be the one that walk out of this shit fine and somebody else going to lose their life.
Yep.
Yeah. Imagine, like, the whole family.
I agree with that.
But wait. She was allowed to walk at the graduation. You feel me? She was going to be allowed to walk at her graduation for her school.
What?
Yeah, that's
it says she was allowed to accept her diploma, but removed from the list of students permitted to walk at graduation after the students complained, because the students said that she didn't deserve the right. And it's crazy how you think about it. Your peers say, "Oh hell nah, man, nah, ain't no way that she deserved to get a cap and gown or something. She need to be locked up."
Right.
Now you can't take her education from her, but at the end of the day, I feel what they're saying. Hey, look, you should.
She ain't gonna need it. Where she going?
No, at all.
Well, I guess they're saying as far as it's not a good demonstration of behavior to have somebody who just committed such act walk across the stage at that time. I don't think that she should not, you know, whatever, receive whatever, but I definitely agree with the walking part. Like, nah, shorty, you just killed 4 people. That's not the place for you right now. And that could be triggering to other students. So you never know.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that was the best call, honestly.
So just on that note, don't drink and drive, y'all. I know it's like you want to party, you think you're going to be okay. Oh, I do this shit. You know, I know that's how it goes a lot of the times. But get you a designated driver. Get you an Uber. Get you a Lyft. Call somebody. If you know, or sit in a car for a few hours before you pull off or whatever you have to do. Because I know I've been in situations where I wish I would have did the right thing and not got behind the wheel or made sure I called for a driver. And a lot of people die behind DUIs. And like Jordan had mentioned, 9 times out of 10, the driver is the one who walks away okay, and somebody else could lose their life or be seriously hurt or injured. And you don't want that. You don't want that on your record. And you definitely don't want to hurt nobody else for your own faulty mistakes when you could just simply get an Uber or a Lyft. So just be careful, y'all, and remember to not drink and drive.
Listen, I give him an example. Today is one of my closest friend's birthday. He got super, super drunk and drove himself home, and he killed himself December 17th of last year.
That's ridiculous. That's
he was going over close to 120 miles per hour. He hit a pole. He hit a pole head on, and nobody found him for 5 hours because it was at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they couldn't get to his body because the electricity pole fell on top. So they had to get the electricians out to get him out. So please don't drink and drive.
I agree. I agree.
That's it's his birthday today.
That happened to me and Jordan's classmate, Frankie. And he wasn't even the one driving, but his friend was. And he was driving in the winter, slid on some black ice, and hit a tree. He didn't die, but his girlfriend in the front seat did. And then Frankie ended up dying from having blood bleeds in his brain.
From drinking and driving.
And you don't want to be responsible for that. You don't want to be living, walking here on earth, knowing that you're responsible for somebody else's death or injuries, you know, for one mistake. So we got a whole bunch of seconds, you know, in the day, in the hour. Just take some time to think before you do some things. Take some time to, you know, think about the repercussions before you make a move like that. And call somebody. I think that's the biggest thing I learned, like, in my adult years. Like, if you really feel like you that toe up or you, that, you know, that toe down, like, yeah, we all gonna have fun. And you might not want to leave your car somewhere, but rather leave your car than lose your life. So
Don't drink and drive, you guys. Uber, Lyft, whatever. If y'all like, no, I don't want to get no Uber, no Lyft, and don't drink. It's not worth losing your life. What did Mr. Crush used to always say, Jordan? Split second decisions have long lasting effects.
Yes, they do.
Exactly. It takes literally a second. Because I'm looking at a Facebook post of Mr. Crush right now.
Nah, was he throwing? He was throwing up gang signs.
Yeah.
But no, for real, guys, we just want you to be safe, especially because it's the summer. We know everybody gonna be out having fun, enjoying time. Like, we want to make sure everybody gets home safe. Including ourselves, because when we tell y'all we be drunk, we be drunk, but we be responsible, okay?
So just gotta be responsible. Make it home to them babies and your people, and especially what Kenyatta said, with it being the summertime. I know y'all trying to act bad, turn up, be outside. Just please, 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 if y'all don't take nothing else away from this show, be responsible, get a Lyft, get an Uber, and be safe.
Yeah, we forget about the biggest thing is graduation season. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to graduate from high school.
There's been so many deaths in prom season this year. Did y'all see all of those?
Yeah, it's, the numbers have been high.
High as heck this year. I've seen so many and it's really, parents, stop bringing y'all kids these crazy cars that they can't goddamn drive. Just be their chauffeur. Your kids are not super grown. Some of these kids is 16, 17 years old going to prom. They don't know the first thing about driving or the second.
That's
thing
what
about
they
driving.
Need to go back to. I remember, like, back when I was going to prom, like, you know, that was kind of your past, to, you know, for you to have a good time. And you
how
know,
long ago was that, though?
It's like maybe 10 years ago.
2 years ago.
10 years ago.
Oh, you said 10. Damn.
I feel not that long ago. Nothing's really changed but the style. Because at the end of the day, kids, we had expensive cars back then too, but our parents was like, hell no, y'all not driving. First of all, the car ain't our parents' name. So it's like, parents gotta start taking back the reins in these parent and child relationships. You can't keep trusting your kid that much that they put their own lives in danger. One of the ones, they rented their kid a Tesla and the boy couldn't drive the Tesla.
That's crazy.
I thought that was the one where the Tesla malfunctioned,
No, the Tesla did not malfunction. They, when they tested the car, it wasn't nothing wrong with it. It was just crashed. He ran into a pole or something and killed him and his girl.
Don't do me like that, because I'm trying
to... Gotta be careful, and don't be like Kenyatta was saying, don't be too good to feel like your parents can't shuffle. Most parents, like, kind of already know what comes to prom, but I promise you, or, like, even if not your parents, like, an older cousin, a sibling, a play cousin, get somebody to drive you and your people around so you can have a good time, and you don't have to be responsible for, you know, the
getting actions from point A to point B to point C.
Being under the influence. Even if you... underage, you know, people, that's usually the time where people are drinking underage, and we're not promoting that, but you know, obviously things happen. But let somebody just do the right thing, let somebody drive you, or just have somebody on speed dial that you can call in case things don't go the right way or you get too messed up. Yeah, I know we spent a lot of time on international, but that's real important. So with prom season, graduation season, let's just make sure that, you know, that we doing all right. Say a prayer before you get out there, stay prayed up and all of that. Did we do social media already or no?
No, we got to get into social media. So y'all been seeing that Blac Chyna and Alexis Sky has been like on their spiritual movement. Do y'all feel like it's for publicity?
I feel like it's
Jordan.
Yes, look, bro. Why all of a sudden you want to change? And I'm not against people all of a sudden changing their lives and getting right. My whole problem is when you start to change your life and get right, like, why wouldn't that be a private thing? Why does everything got to be fucking public?
But you know where Jordan is? He saw the best. He saw
the best in me. Y'all is something else.
I don't feel like, for Black China specifically, well, okay, so here's the thing. So when I listen to Black, because at first I thought the same thing, like, why would y'all be going through that publicly? So Black China, if y'all remember, like, she kind of went away from social media for a while. Same thing with Alexis Sky. She went away from social media for a while. So when they did those things, they was refocusing their life on different things. And it just so happened to be like, okay, I would like to get more in touch with my spiritual side and my religion and et cetera, and change my life around. I feel like y'all know we didn't been going through this bad bitch stage, this whatever stage. I think, like, the BBL stage, the influencer stage, all of that stuff, I think it's coming to an end, like, because the OGs of that shit, like, Black China is an OG stripper. Like, she has been in the game for so long. I think that she's finally coming out of it because she's getting older. She's approaching her 30s and 40s. Like, if she's not already in her 30s, I think she's almost there. I think Black China is probably... Can y'all look up how old
Black China is? I think she's 29.
She's 20. Yeah, so she approaching her 30s. I don't... If you still the same, acting the same in your 20s as you are in your 30s, then I think that's just... That is just no growth. So it's like, do we expect people to not grow? I think she just got... She getting tired of it. She's like, that's not the life I want to live no more. And rightfully so. They went and got bodies done and been living with them bodies in their whole 20s. Now they getting older. The shit starting to... not look the way they want it to look. They don't like the way they look anymore. They out of that stage of being those people. So they starting to reverse all that shit and it's just coming to an end.
So Kenyatta, did you watch Black China on Carisha Please on last week's episode? So I watched it and she spoke to this because I have my own like kind of preconceived notions around the topic too. She spoke about how she just feels like a lot of things that she did just was because of insecurities. And the more that she's moving away from insecurities, she's moving away from all the things that she did or put into her body or herself that made her want to run away from who Angela, which is her real name, who she really is. And then my own personal opinion on this is one thing that Alexis Scott and Black China also have in common is they have children by some people who are in the media, pretty famous, and they, have had like these public relationships, children and things like that. One thing about mothers is that as your children get older and as they grow, you tend to grow with them like kind of simultaneously. And it's like a weird thing, but it's like that maturing factor. Like, is this really what I want for my life or for my babies? Is this what I want the example to be? And they could be coming to like a realization, or, you know, it just could be too like, the industry is like a wicked place, and people say that all the time. Like, the industry is like a wicked place, and for people who may have encountered different type of situations being in the industry and then wanting to draw back from that, sometimes the only way to go is with God. But on the flip side of that, I also feel like, let's not get it twisted, these are celebrities at the end of the day. Everything about a coin, you know what I'm saying? So not to say take nothing away from that spiritual journey, because it could very well be their journey, but I definitely don't think that that's going to stop them from publicizing it, because that's how they make their money. Them being able to do a whole 360 switch on their lifestyle, on their spirituality, on how they carry themselves, that causes for good content, that causes for more content, fresh content, more interviews, fresh interviews. And, you know, that's another coin. So, yeah, I think even though it could be a real thing and it could be a real journey, yeah, they're going to capitalize off of it. That don't necessarily mean it's capped, but they're going to make sure that they get their coin in, you know, no matter what, because the public going to find out anyway because they public figures. So I just think it's like how you look at it.
I agree. I definitely agree. I feel like I said, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, Kiva. Because it definitely just makes sense. Like, it really probably was just an industry thing. But I don't really like how people expect them to... I think that people's expectation is, like, if you're going to make that change, then just completely go ghost. And it's, like, I think they want to encourage other people. Like, hey, This is how I perceived it, and this is how y'all are probably perceiving it too. But I'm here to let you know, like, it's not what it's cracked up to be.
And this is also, it's also still their livelihood. Like, being transparent is still their job. So that comes with the good, the bad, the ugly, the sad. Like, you don't necessarily, it's not necessarily like I'm about to show the world what I'm doing because, you know, I'm just trying to make a coin. But if the world is going to find out anyway, if I need to pay my bills, if their blogs are going to catch on anyway, why not go ahead and make, you know, my coin off of it? Like, I understand that we have, what do they call them? Like, mega church pastors that go live every Sunday and make a coin off of it. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So I feel that it's nothing different. You can walk in your journey and your spirituality, use it as a platform to also help others, but also, you know, be beneficial for you because you still got to feed your family. I did in the beginning definitely think it was capped though. Like, I was like, man, they just tried to do a little bit.
Well, y'all ever seen Black China's Mom?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can.
I'm on a spiritual journey right now too, y'all.
What, for your hair?
No. You know, somebody on this cast owe me some coins, but I'm on a spiritual journey, so I'm not going to...
A spiritual what?
Calvin, we heard somebody was talking shit. Sorry.
Huh?
I had to say it.
See, hey, sometimes you shut the fuck up.
What happened now? What happened now? Because somebody owed me some coins on this show.
No, stay on your journey, Calvin. Stay on your journey.
Stick with it, brother.
Hey, we had a listener letter, dog, that we choose not to share on the air. So you may want to stay in your lane
because they go right. They on you.
What was the listening letter? Because I go ahead and I want to hear it.
No, you don't. Trust me.
Yes, I do. Because whoever it is, they can kiss my natural black.
Oh,
hey,
you
George,
know what I'm saying?
If he can sit one more time, to saying you can go ahead and read it, pull it up.
Pull it up.
Oh, shit.
Because I don't know, I never heard it, so I want to hear it.
I ain't heard it either, so I'm down with you. I want to hear it, but George, don't be mad when they read it because I don't know what to say.
let me tell you something about me.
Are we going to drop it in the group chat?
Nah, fuck the group chat. I want the world to hear it.
Oh shit.
Jordan,
read it.
Jordan, come on.
Jordan got to take a deep breath.
Read it.
You know,
I just feel like I just instigated. My bad, y'all. I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? He wouldn't know if he listened to the show anyway. I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to say a fucking thing. My bad.
Oh, snap. Hey,
you already got to find it. You didn't hit it from yourself?
Let's get done with social media.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, sorry. Before we get into that deep juiciness. They doing a remake of The Color Purple. How we feel?
Oh, yada. Don't forget about P. Diddy and his little scandalous behavior.
Listen, okay, so y'all know how... we talked about Jamie Foxx and his illnesses and things of that nature. That also sparked the conversation about P. Diddy because they felt like P. Diddy did that shit to him. I don't believe in conspiracy theories, so I don't really know. But then it comes out that, like, P. Diddy be preying on young men, like, grooming them. Like, they feel like Diddy groomed Usher. I didn't even know they was cool.
No, so, okay, so Usher did an interview. So if you guys get on TikTok or YouTube or whatever, Usher did an interview where he said that at 13 years old, I want to say Clyde Davis sent him to live with Diddy to complete something called Flavor Camp. And they was asking him, well, as a third, like, what was all this about? And it was like, just to see the lifestyle of a, you know, of an artist and how they live. And they was like, so you live with him? He was like, yes. They were like, were you partying with him? He was like, I'll say it was,
My bad. I don't know what happened.
You got to play with you.
He was like, I would say it was like a unique experience. They was like, so did you see a lot of things? He was just saying, like, it's like he was trying to say what I was saying. He was like, oh, I seen a lot of things. They was like, would you let your child attend a Flavor Camp of Diddy? And he was like, no. He said it was some clips that I don't know if these clips are actually accurate because they were just clipped in. But he said that he slept in the bed with Diddy sometimes. And then it was also rumors about Justin Bieber being groomed by Diddy, where Diddy had bought him a car.
What's that man's name?
Justin Bieber.
You said Jason.
I said Justin. I said Justin.
You said Jason.
Okay, Jason, Justin, the Bieber guy. No, just
the
joking.
Bieber dude.
that he was also like being groomed by Diddy. So I don't know. I'm not like really into conspiracies, but being on TikTok, I go into a black hole all the time. Like I click one thing and then I'm just off into the next thing. And Diddy has been like one of those things because, okay, so I'm gonna just bring it. So do y'all know Diddy started with Uptown Records? Mm-hmm. Everybody that was on Uptown Records is dead, except I'll be sure it's not dead, but he almost died. So their whole thing is everybody, including Kim Porter, who gets close to Diddy, and one thing that all of these people, so I'll be sure he almost died. They tried to kill him, so they say, conspiracy theory. I'll be sure Andre Harrell, Kim Porter, Heavy D. It's two more names that I can't think about off the top of my head. I don't know if Biggie was on Uptown, but yeah, still they all, just as all to say that everybody that gets too close to Biggie, knows him too well, or is looked to surpass him money wise, they all die of some type of either like shooting or heart attack. In the case of I'll Be Sure, Kim Porter, Heavy D, and Andre Harrell, what they all had in common was they were all getting ready to write tell all books. At the time of death, I'll Be Sure is still alive, but he almost, like, he was in the hospital for a while because he almost passed away, and he was getting ready to do a tell-all book. We don't know how Kim Porter passed away. She just mysteriously up and died.
She had COVID. Remember? Because didn't she die in 2020?
Yeah, but I don't think it ever came out confirmed of like the reason of her death. And then I was also, which I, you know, I always say, like, I don't know all of this to be super duper factual, but I watched it on TikTok, that they said in her, what is it, toxicology report, mm-hmm. the report that there was toxins found in her body that causes like heart attack,
labor pneumonia. The death, County coroner's office announced that Kim Porter died of labor pneumonia.
Okay, and then also
in 2018.
Right. And then what's his name? What's the other man? Heavy D, he died from heart. Anyways, all that to say that they just always say Diddy been on some weird shit. So I don't know how true that is, but
hey, but long story short, Diddy, we love you over here, man. Hey, I'm good with you, Diddy.
True. Y'all notice too, like all of the every single group that Diddy has had has never surpassed anything. They did one or two albums and then they just fell off. I don't feel like he's good musically in the sense that like he has created some hits with people, but they never last long. Like think about it. Danity Kane, flop. Day 26, flop. P5, flop. Like,
but they stick around long enough for him to profit off of them.
He did. Yeah, he continues to profit off of them because they made great albums when they were out. Danity Kane made two great albums while they were out. And he still profits off of them to this day. And it's really, I don't know, it's really sickening. And then now this whole Carisha thing, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about
Mace was talking trash about him too now.
Who?
Mace. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think Mace gonna die, to be honest. No. I don't know. I feel like Diddy just a kind man. He's a kind man, businessman. But I really hope and pray that don't nothing else happen to nobody else, because that's a little weird. I don't know. Well, yeah, we'll continue to keep a watch out for Diddy. If anybody else come up missing, we're going to report his ass to the FBI because he needs to be investigated. Wow, people coming up missing. Not missing, but coming up dead.
Yeah.
They're doing a remake of The Color Purple. How we feel about that?
Some stuff, man, it kind of like, really, man, like Friday. The first Friday, that was the best Friday. But sometimes, man, some movies, man, it only do for one movie. You know what I'm saying? It really, when you start trying to make more different movies, it kind of like not good.
Yeah, just leave that shit alone. I'm honestly tired of the oh woe me black story. Like, can we be more creative and create stories that have?
I just feel like everybody doing remakes. Like, can we get some new stories?
Did y'all watch the new White Man Can't Jump?
They got a new White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah, they had a new white man can't jump. It got I forgot what that dude name is. He's a really good actor, but and then they got Jack Harlow as the white guy that can't jump. It's actually really good. I actually really like it.
It's on Hulu. It's streaming on Hulu. I actually enjoyed it. The concept was good, and even how they made it more like modern and today, they didn't try to like literally remake it like word for word and stuff like that. So I think that was cool. And then they also remaking Good Burger.
Yeah, I'm cool on the Good Burger. Good Burger wasn't even that great.
Like, it wasn't even like a classic to remake. Let's be fair.
It wasn't. I'd be so sick of the nostalgia group that just think everything from the past was nostalgic. First of all, y'all was not sitting watching Good Burger. Like, let's be fucking for real.
I love Good Burger.
It was cool.
Good Burger, man, take your order.
It was cool. But it wasn't all of that.
I'm a dude. We all dudes.
No, we wasn't all dudes. We wasn't. It was cool. It was a good show, but it wasn't a damn SpongeBob.
It wasn't remake worthy.
Yeah, it was definitely not remake worthy. What so fucking ever. I'm sorry. And then y'all got these old men out here putting on makeup and braided wigs for the sake of y'all nostalgia and for the sake of making a coin. Y'all could have put them in a new movie.
I don't know how I feel about The Color Purple just because it isn't out yet, but from
the trailer,
I don't really like when people turn like movies into like musicals, and it's giving musical vibes, and I'm like, it's kind of the musical part is kind of taken away from the story to me. It's kind of giving like you should have left it on Broadway.
Exactly. What I was gonna say. I do like that they casted Fantasia as Celie because she was Celie in the color purple on Broadway.
They got Taraji as Suge.
Yeah, but I just feel like what was the purpose of remaking that movie? Like, it was just The Color Purple is The Color Purple, and it's the fact of the matter that the person that's remaking it is Oprah. And it's like,
and you was already in the movie.
You was already in the original. Like, what more do you need to profit off of? I feel like it's cool. I'm gonna probably watch it. But I really want to
say
I only say
what I say because it's already been like a play or whatever. So like it's like you already got a chance to redo it when you did the play. So to me it's kind of like, okay, it's getting a little overdone. Like, all right, we're gonna make it a play, we're gonna make it another movie, we're gonna make it a musical. Like,
it may be one of them things that teach these new upcoming kids and stuff.
But what they're not teaching nothing. Literally,
I'm just saying the kids nowadays ain't gonna go back and watch The Color Purple. I'm just keeping it 100.
But if you ain't watched it, if you ain't watched the first one, you ain't gonna have no interest in watching the second one.
Because you don't know what it's about. Like, and that's, I don't know.
They're gonna look like this old movie. I'm not gonna watch this.
There's a ton of old movies that we watched as kids. So I feel like if people want to expose their kids to it, they'll let their kids watch it. But shit is so microwavable right now. You got to think about it. When we was kids, they was coming out with movies, but to come out, we wasn't getting new movies every single month on the dot. Like every single Friday, there was a new movie out. Now it's a new movie out on Netflix every week. Like the kids don't have enough attention span to even go back to watch old movies. They don't care to.
Yeah. Shout out to Netflix. The D-Star show's coming down.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like I'm gonna watch it just because I actually do like musicals. So if there is a musical aspect, I might.
It's cool. I think that this is great. I think that it's actually giving opportunities to the people that's in the cast. I just don't think I will be. I'm not super gung-ho to watch it. I want to watch it just because I watched the first one, so I want to see what the comparison is. But I think as far as like the kids, to be able to get like a feel of it. If they can't understand the first one, then the second one is just gonna be like, why would I even, you know, watch this? I think you have to already be kind of like inclined to what the story is to want to even watch the remake. But speaking of movies, I have enjoyed thoroughly. Tiana Taylor came out with that 1001 movie, and it came out in theaters, and it's also now streaming on Peacock. It was super good to me. It had a plot twist at the end that I was not expecting. Her acting, she really showed off her acting skills as like one of the main actor in this movie, besides other like supporting characters. And I think she showed a lot of depth. After watching interviews with her, she said that this role was very much like therapy to her,
She's been really deep on the Angie Martinez In Real Life podcast. Shout out to Angie because I watch all of those. The In Real Life podcast. And she was just saying how much it was like therapeutic for her and how much she feel like all the times that people had closed doors on her in the past, that this it had prepared her for this role. And this is the role that she feel like she's been working all her life for. It is streaming on Peacock. It is also in theaters. But super good movie. Is based out in like the in like Queens, New York. That's like the setting, and it's from back like starting in the 80s, 90s. And then it goes, you know, it's kind of like a skip through thing. So 6 months later, 11 years later type of movie. But if you haven't seen it, y'all should go watch it.
She's definitely been trying to pivot her career, and I absolutely love that for her. She's such a multifaceted person.
Yes.
And she is so talented, and people do not give her enough credit. Like, Teyana Taylor can design, she can choreograph, she can sing, she can dance, she can act. Like, she literally has it all.
She's choreographing for Big Lotto right now for her tour.
Yeah, she choreographed for somebody else that I had just recently saw. And it's, I mean, I feel like it's beautiful to see, because some people aren't able to pivot their careers. Because when she tried to, well, not tried to sing, she had her singing career with Good Music, but they weren't giving her the push that she needed. So she said she was just retiring from music, and that's exactly what she did. She did her last tour, and she said she's not revisiting music.
But when she came out with that EP, baby.
Ooh-wee. She's different. I love Teyana Taylor.
So what else do we have in social media?
Really it. We could definitely jump into our main topic because we kind of spent a lot on our.
I know.
So we're gonna. Hey, Joe, you got the main topic about the educational versus maturity. Or we want to talk about Kevin. You still want to read email?
Yeah, man.
Let's read that email. We could do that to other topic. Like, we need to listen.
Hey,
to
Jordan. Hey, Jordan. Ask him. Do he really want to do that, though?
Hey, man. You really want to do that, bro?
Where is Jordan?
Read the damn thing.
All right, man. Hold on, let me
shit now.
Drum roll, please.
Hey, the listener, hey, I hope that you're not in the same city with Kevin.
He gonna come up,
I really want to know what this letter says, because I'm giving it like it's giving.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you, hey, I had to text Jordan. I'm like, Jordan, damn, you didn't tell me this was in the email, my boy. And
y'all
like,
never dropped it in the chat.
Nah, fuck that. Why you ain't never text me? Bro, we talk 5 times a day.
Bro, at the end of the day, bro, I felt like, I was like, man, you know, there's some it's had to be somebody you gave the card to or passed out, or they listened to the show on a regular or whatever.
Oh, God. Read it. Just read it. Let's listen.
But it been say,
It
don't say who it's from. You know what I'm saying? It do say who it's from. Shit, it says, hey guys, why can't my dick get hard? I talked to a fella named Calvin. He had the same problems.
What?
Was wondering what you did to fix the solution. Hey man, I can't make this shit up. I'm gonna drop it in the chat for y'all. That's how you know I can't make this shit up, but
Calvin, have you had these issues?
I never had these issues.
Put my boy on the ass. Like,
no. Let me talk in private. Let me tell you something. First off,
hey, no, let him finish that, the letter. Finish the letter, bro.
Nah, fuck that. Whoever wrote that, retarded as fuck. You can ask any bitch I ever slayed in my entire life. Ooh. You get the king. Fuck is you talking about?
It's the king in the room, honey. He said big cow, but not the little one.
Hey, it was inside. Hey, it was actually email. Z. So.
Don't play with him.
Hey, guess what the guy's name was? D'Angelo.
Hey, I'm gonna drop like 4 of my porn tapes in the chat.
Don't do that.
You know what I'm saying?
How did this escalate so fast?
So you can see.
Hey, matter of fact, Kevin, we just send you his email. Don't do it to us, though. Don't do that, though.
I'm gonna drop what it in the chat.
I said send it to Nakiva and Kiata, but
y'all send it to me. I ain't trying to think about Kevin the net like
you have funny. Nothing to prove, Kevin. Hey, nothing to prove.
Fuck around, Lee. Y'all dudes fucking with me.
Oh,
Hey, look, I ain't, well, we just had a meeting, but I ain't finna say who you don't gotta do, but hey, there's some messy stuff going on.
Shut up, Jordan.
Jordan is messy as
hell. Jordan is messy as hell. He's messy as hell.
Hey, but
y'all, this will be going on off air just to let y'all know they messy.
Listen, man. I don't got time. I'm just not returning as a full timer. Y'all not gonna keep trying to play with me.
Boy,
I'm
you
part time.
But so yeah, Jordan, bro, hey, go ahead, man.
No, I was gonna say, moving on, bro. The world is becoming a scary place. Shit getting mm-hmm. real dangerous, and I think he is getting dumber and dumber by the day. No cap. Kids getting dumber and dumber by the day, but reality, me and D was talking, it's and he was it's like, he was like, you know, teachers need to get paid more. I said, reality is, even if you pay the teachers more money, that's not going to directly correlate to the students learning more.
It is.
And it's because, bro, without decent parenting, bro, without somebody sitting your ass down telling you how important, you know, you need to have a half decent education is, bro, you don't care.
Mm-mm. I feel like that's false. And the only reason I believe that is because there's been studies that show that lack of pay results in lack of effort. So you got to remember, teaching is a job. It's not, people like to look at it as a passion, but passion does not pay. So it's like, if they just come and they being underpaid, the passion goes away. So, no, I don't have the passion to sit here and act like your kid is my kid. You got to think about it. Teachers have kids more than parents have kids throughout the day. They're at school 8 hours a day. They only go to home for a couple hours to eat, do their homework, and go to sleep and return back to school 5 days a week. So, at the end of the day, teachers do have more of an impact than parents in a lot of places. But when you got teachers that are unmotivated because they're struggling and paying their bills from paycheck to paycheck, then yeah, they don't have the time to redirect your kid a million times a day. They don't have the passion to sit here and make sure that Billy Bob graduates. They really don't care. It's a paycheck at that point.
Yeah.
And when they raised the pay for teachers in Indianapolis, the graduation rate went up. When they raised the pay in Indianapolis, the kids started to actually pay attention in class because the teachers was actually putting more effort into their craft. So I definitely think it's a pay thing as well.
Well, I think it's a pay thing because of burnout. I'm sorry.
My name is not Calvin, but go ahead.
I did not say Calvin.
Go ahead. I was just letting you know before you did.
I didn't say it. I think contribution to what Kenyatta said, it's a burnout thing. And as somebody who was like a former like teacher's aide, small groups teacher, resource room teacher, the money does, it make a difference sometimes, because when you're underpaid, you're undermotivated, because you could have a passion for it, but being a teacher, you dealing with those kids' social emotional issues, not only just their educational issues. Sometimes you're dealing with their circumstances from home. You helping kids with their hygiene, and depending on what type of teacher you are, you deal with a lot of behavioral issues. So to already feel like you're not making enough, and then go somewhere and then you have to deal with XYZ. Even the most passionate person who doesn't do it, you know, for the money, when you're struggling because you don't have enough money, that's already draining. And then to come to work and have to deal with kids who might not be the most respectful, or might not have the most respectful parents, or you might be even underfunded as a school, that makes you even more burnt out. So an extra pay increase sometimes is the incentive that you need to keep that fire burning, because then that takes away some of your struggle or stress on the back end, and it puts the battery in your back to keep on going, because not only are you motivated then by your passion, but you're motivated by the money. Once you start saying, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I like doing this, but I'm broke, F this job, I don't care no more, that's the type of stuff that starts coming with, that's the attitude that comes with being underpaid sometimes because of the stress that comes with it. So, Kenyatta, I definitely agree.
I'm glad both of y'all said that, because what brings us to this point, it was a video that we sent into the group chat. Do anybody have the audio? I'm looking for it now, but
the audio for the video of the teacher fighting?
Yes.
I can't play the audio. Somebody else will have to play it.
Yeah, I forgot you hit the red button all the time.
Every time.
Hey, what brings us there, man? The teacher actually got in a fight with a child. Well, it wasn't no fight with the child. She basically told him to sit his ass down and jacked him up, and she got suspended for it.
kind of gave him like a good mama altercation type of thing. Like, hey, sit your butt down. You're doing too much. Who do you think you are? This is a classroom. This is not the place for that. You know, XYZ kind of turned him around in his chair, put him in his chair, told him shut his mouth, finger in the face, all of that thing, all of those things to that extent. And I'm pretty sure people got, D, are you looking for the audio?
I'm looking for it now. I'm
okay, I'm pretty sure people have like their opinions about it, but you know, it wasn't too many years ago we were getting paddled in school and the school was more like a family. Your mom knew the teacher upstairs and the principal went to school with your grandma, and those type of things could happen and not be so looked down upon. Now, as a parent, the parent in me would be like, definitely, you know, why you talking to my child like that? But I also feel like children need to be held responsible too. Like how we talked about that other situation not too long ago where the teacher actually got into the fist fight with the student. That kids be bold these days. And sometimes they just need to remember who in control. And that might come with a little bit of yelling and finger pointing their face, because how much are you supposed to take it as an adult when you're sitting here and your job is to instruct these students and keep them safe, but they talking to you like they crazy?
I think I got it, guys. But, let me see what they play.
That's the thing. I think again, like, that school is not looked at as a community. Parents be on autopilot mode. They go to work. They're not trying to deal with nothing else. They don't know what their kids doing in the classroom. They don't respond to teachers, because a hands-on parent, if a teacher did that to their kid and they a hands-on parent, they know what their kid be doing. They know their kid be acting the ass. Them parents don't care. They be like, go ahead, that's fine, because X, Y, and Z. I had to be that parent with Aiden, because the teachers are so cautious now because they're scared to lose their jobs that they have to temperature gauge with the parent to be like, okay, what kind of parent are you going to be? Are you going to be hands-on or are you not?
Hold on, I got the audio.
That's crazy.
Did you hit the kid that said, what the fuck?
11 years old. You are, yeah, that's crazy.
Y'all get it. I'm just saying, man, as a parent, you get news, you're on your job, and a teacher don't jack your damn child up. And you know your child now. You know your child can be that motherfucker. Mm. How do you react?
Me, personally, y'all done heard my stories about Aiden. I've had to be that parent that used my deductive reasoning. I know what Aiden is capable of, and I know how he acts at home. So if his teacher telling me that he did something that I know his ass did at home, and she told me that she had to reprimand him, I'm not on her ass about it, because I know how my child is. But when I have a concern, because like Aiden will come home and say that he had tears at school, and I'm like, why? Because somebody was bullying him. Aiden punched a kid in the face, in the nose, because the kid was bullying him. The teacher contacted me and told me about it. She wasn't upset. She didn't reprimand him. And I asked her why. She said, because I know Aiden. He didn't do it because, you know, that was just his character. He did it because somebody was teasing him. He asked him to stop. He came and told me they didn't stop. So he punched them. Okay, cool. That's a teacher that actually gets to know their kids. Now you have one or two things. You got teachers that don't really care about the kids. So they be on edge because they got all these badass kids in their class. And they just go off. Or you have teachers that try to communicate with the parent because they're struggling with their kid in the classroom, and the parent never responds. They're not involved. So then when it gets to that point, you get a phone call and you ready to turn up, but she's been trying to tell you about your kid all year. Now you mad. Now you're forcing the school to do something about it, and the schools have to, because it's a political thing at that point. Like, we can't, most schools or principals that know their teachers, they will stand 10 toes behind their teachers, and now it's an investigation. But to do the right thing as far as their contract, they have to put the teacher off on leave. They got to do all of this other stuff. But the responsibility of your kid is your kid. I'm just not that parent. Now you put your hands on my kid when I know my kid is not confrontational in that way with adults, we have an issue. Now if I know my kid be testing people's patience and was disrespectful, flying off the hinges and all that shit, I'm sorry. Like, you should have sat your ass down. Why would you walk around the class cussing and putting your hands on women? Because that's what she said. Like, your family teaches you to put your hands on women. And you hear the other kid in the class like, what the fuck? Like, what kind of 11-year-old is this?
Yeah, no, that's crazy, bro. A lot of people don't understand these kids raising themselves, bro, and the internet raising.
Yep. You know, out here in Avon, so because the teachers, because the parents are not hands-on anymore, the kids get suspended. The parents don't even care. They just go to work. They just let the kids stay at home or whatever. Like, I'm talking high school. One of my little cousins got caught vaping in the bathroom. And you know what the school did? They suspended her for like 3 days or something like that. And then they fined her parents $250 for her smoking in the bathroom.
What?
Yeah, you got to hit the parents in the pocket. Then they pay attention. They fined her parents $250. So now the other school districts in the area are trying to figure out how to find parents, because that's the only thing that gets their attention. Exactly how they do with like graduation and shit. You know, your kids can't go to prom or walk if they haven't paid the school dues. Parents be going all their life from kindergarten to high school, ain't paid the damn book rental, ain't paid none of the school fees, and then be wanting to pitch a bitch when their kid can't walk or go to prom.
Yeah, that's the
only thing that gets their attention. Dang. So shit, yeah, we finna start hitting the parents. I bet you go talk to your kid now. I bet you tell your kids stop vaping. But my mom works in a school district out here in Indy, and the kids are terrible. The parents are even worse. Like, the parents are so bad, y'all. They are so bad. Like, one day I'm gonna have my mom. We're gonna have my mom on the show so she can kind of give a perspective of what like be going on, since we have been having these conversations more about interactions with teachers and kids. But like in my mom's school right now, the kids be coming to school smelling like weed. They in the eighth grade. They at the eighth grade center. And they in the seventh and eighth grade come to school high. They have to send the kids home because they be high. My mom be having to tell them like, oh, you're high, I have to send you home. Most of the time they have like a doomsday at school. So if it's coming down to the end of the school year and they get in trouble, at that point they don't even want you back in the school. They just send you home for the rest of the school year.
Damn.
Yeah, it's that bad. They took the kids to Kings Island on the weekend. The parents supposed to be at the school at a certain time to pick their kids up. One of the kids' parents is like a principal, or like the uncle was a principal at one of the other schools in that school district. He left his kid outside an hour after the bus had already dropped the kids off. Nobody's in the parking lot. There's no lights on. The school is in a really bad area. Like, it's near a trailer park with like meth heads, all types of stuff. And when my mom called this parent, they talk about, well, there's another bus coming right after y'all, so I was just waiting so I could pick them both up at the same time.
What?
But your kid outside. Your kid is outside. My mama can't leave until you come pick your kid up. And it was like, that's fine. Like, she can just stay there. I'm on my way. My mom was like, I cannot leave your child here. Like, that is not safe.
I wouldn't left the child there either, but you would have picked them up from defense.
That's what I told my, but my mama don't be wanting to do that. I said, y'all, you need to start, because they don't respect, the parents don't respect teachers. They see teachers as babysitters. Even at the older age, and it's really sickening. Like, your teachers are not babysitters. They don't, now y'all see why they charge for daycare so much, because you handling somebody else's kid is a whole nother task. A whole nother task. There needs to be way more respect for teachers. They're literally teaching your child what you can't teach your kid. So I don't know. I really hate that topic, because my mama teacher, and I wish to the high heavens that a child put their hands on my mama, because you ain't even got to worry about my mama smacking your kid. I'm finna come up there and smack your kid, and I'm gonna come get you as soon as I'm done.
I'm just finna say, y'all know y'all are real passionate about this topic.
Hey, bro, for real.
Think about how bold kids is now, bro. How bold they finna be in the future.
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane, not getting no better. Parents don't want to say nothing to them. They let social media raise their kids.
Yeah, it ain't getting no better.
Oh, it's only getting worse.
It's only gonna get worse. But I know my child ain't gonna be in the damn number, because I'll knock his head off. He think he gonna disrespect another adult. I don't give a damn if it's a teacher, a bus driver, or whatever. It ain't gonna happen. Do y'all think kids really need education, or can they teach themselves or have work experience?
I think both.
They need formal education, bro.
Yeah, it's, you know. But some of the shit in school they teach, like Christopher Columbus bullshit, they can keep that shit. But I think math and reading is something that all kids need.
Okay. I think when they get older in age, though, they need the other stuff that you're talking about, y'all. Like when they get older in age, like high school and stuff, a lot of stuff that we learn, you know, like economics really ain't go that deep into like doing your taxes or, you know,
right.
The stuff that they used to learn how to like balance checkbooks in school before we was in school. I didn't learn that in school, but yeah. I know my mom did.
Yeah, I think that, to be honest, if you think back to like, we live in Indiana, so you got to think about how kids grew up on farms and stuff like that. They had education, but they didn't go to school because they was help tending to farms. So, like, they did have read, write, and arithmetic, but they still had a job that kind of, you know, did what they need to do to provide a living for themselves. But I feel like in this world, like, you can't afford to not have to have that simple of an education. It's way too many facets to life now. It's not as simple as it used to be, so I feel like formal education is a thing. But I do feel like that, did y'all see the pastor that went to that board meeting about the explicit sex book that was in the 8th grade library?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I'm going to drop the video in the chat later, but there was a pastor that went to the school board meeting because there was a book that was on sexual education, but the book was very graphic and talked about squirting and coming on somebody and how to make somebody come and things of that nature. So he started just reading the book verbatim and they cut him off and he said, why are y'all cutting me off? Does it make you uncomfortable? And they were just like, they just didn't say anything. He said, well, if it makes you uncomfortable, why do y'all think it's appropriate for it to be in a library, let alone in a library for 8th graders? And they had nothing to say. They just were like, okay, pastor, your time is up, because you know board meetings, you got a certain amount of time to talk. So that was
that like supposed to be like a sex education? Like, what was the purpose of the book even being in the library?
It's like a sexual education book. I don't know.
But that's what parents fail to realize that they trying to get these schools to teach like really sex and stuff. You should teach your children that at home. They shouldn't have to wait until they get to school to depend on a sex education class to get the knowledge on having sex. Because TV, internet, now these kids got TV, internet, everything now. You know what I'm saying? If you don't get to these kids before the internet or the street get to them, it's a lost cause. So the things that you were trying to protect your child from, they already don't see it. But they need to hear your version on why not to do X, Y, Z, you know, but these parents nowadays, we got a lot of lazy parents, you know what I'm saying? Some people got kids that don't want the kids. They just want the kids because the benefit behind the kids, you know, so.
D, can you play the recording? I sent it to your iPad.
Okay.
Because I just want y'all to hear, like, how graphic it really was.
Y'all about to play the audio?
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to have to send it to my to the regular group.
Okay, hold on. Please hold.
Could it be one of them situations like the red button?
Oh, yeah, don't hit the red button. I've been doing good not hitting the red button.
I got it.
And this pastor was bald, y'all, so y'all know he was giving them that board member the blues going in. Y'all know them bald head pastors be going. But it was it was real disturbing. I think as a parent, seeing how the education system is transforming.
A controversial children's book teaching graphic sex acts, complete with illustrations, making the rounds in school libraries and classrooms across the country, leaving parents and communities outraged. One concerned pastor tried to read the book at a school board meeting, but officials asked him to stop. Here's what he had to say about that.
If you don't want to hear it in a school board meeting, watch your children be able to check it out of the school system. See, we have perverts that are perverting our kids. And you all sit back smug in your chairs and celebrate diversity, equity, and inclusion, but you don't want me to read it so you can hear it.
Reverend John Amanchukwu spoke at that school board meeting, and he joins me now. Reverend, thank you so much for being here. They did not let you talk about the book, but I will. What's in this book?
This book is for children 10 years of age and up. This book is not soft porn, it's hardcore porn. It details explicitly with pornographic images, homosexual sex, lesbian sex, straight sex. It promotes and glorifies masturbation while speaking against religion to may call that behavior a sin. This book is used as a tool to create what I call mental rape in the hearts and the minds of children. We are robbing kids of their innocence in America as we allow diversity, inclusion, and equity to dominate our schools.
All right, y'all, we'll drop the rest of it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll drop the rest of it. But yeah, that's, he was basically saying that the book was like not, it wasn't just soft porn. It was like, it wasn't a sexual education book that teaches you about body parts in an educational manner. It was full blown, like telling you how to ejaculate or telling you how to masturbate, like all of that stuff.
Dang.
I'm trying to find it so I can read it to y'all, but I don't want to read it on the air. But anyways, yeah, so that was really alarming to me because, again, when you have a kid that's going through school, you school is the one thing that we kind of kept out of. As much as we try to be involved and we could go to the school board meeting and all that stuff, but you can't be in school with your kid for 8 hours a day. So we don't know the books that they read in. We don't know the information that's really being passed down to them. So it's really kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah. You got
I don't know, but hold on. I think I found the name of the book. Hold on. The book, just to warn our listeners about this book, it is called, I had to, because I would have to look for it, but
over graphic sex book.
Look, we looking for it for real, because I can't even find it. What the name
only,
of it?
On the video, it actually showed the name of the book.
Does it?
It does. So once we upload the video, it's the perfect sex act. Oh, hold on. It's the perfect normal. I'm not sure if that's the name of it or not, but it will be on our Facebook page this afternoon. So once the show posts, you can go.
It's called Comprehensive Health Skills.
That's crazy. Hey guys, I know we've been on over our next show. We're gonna touch bases on. It's a lot of thirsty guys out here, man. You can't. Mm-hmm. Hey, if somebody turn you down, hey, let it be. This guy's in the club throwing drinks on a female. So we normally don't give you the next show topic, but I think next show we're gonna actually discuss that. They're gonna be our show topic.
So if you're a woman, if you've ever dealt with a thirsty guy, let us know. Send us in a letter. Through our link tree, it has a
link. Where you say you seen that, LD, that got through a drink on a female?
I put it in the chat.
Okay.
Can I put it in the chat? Check. The guy apparently asked the woman for her phone number, and he didn't like that. So he's dancing on the floor and just threw the drink on him. I'm like, man, me personally, if I was in the club, man, I think I would probably have to lay hands on him, dog. That was a low-down coward move, dog.
Y'all wanna know what's funny? That's why I prefer to go out with like guy friends too. Like I go out with girlfriends, but I want one of our guy friends to be present because men will try you. Why would you throw a drink on me? Cause now we finna beat you up. What?
Yeah.
That's sick in the head. Cause you got turned down. And honestly, it's real scary for women out here. And we're gonna talk about this on the next show because you can honestly be killed for turning a man down. So us as women hardly ever do it. If I get approached, I will give that man my number. Here you go. I act nice. I play nice because I want my life.
It's sad that you gotta be like that, though.
It is. It's terrible. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Right now, for you know you.
Exactly, and you call, and as soon as I leave the spot, I block it.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But hey, next show, thirsty guys. Hey, Joy, you have anything?
Nah, man. But I'm still kind of like blue over this sex book for kids.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
That's crazy, man. So,
just they're not safe, bro. The kids is not safe. Go tell the people that their kids is not safe.
But the thing
is, copy of the book too. I got a copy of it right now.
It's a book, man. But think about it, man. The internet. You know what I'm saying? We gotta start patrolling what goes on the internet. A lot of people would get their kids a tablet or a computer and be like, "Hey, look, go sit down." play with this. But you don't know what they're looking at. It's crazy.
Yeah, all of this is really wild. They honestly have the whole, they got the whole book. It's 928 pages.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is. And it says, comprehensive health skills provides the skills and information students need to make responsible decisions and promote a lifetime of health and wellness. Students will have the opportunity to practice their health skills in a variety of contexts related to the subject that most applies to their lives. In addition to core health topics such as nutrition, physical activity, and mental health, this text also includes information about sexual health and pregnancy prevention. Content and skills aligned to the National Health Education Standards and the National Sexuality Education Standards. By studying this text, students will be empowered to advocate for every area of their health now and in the future.
Wow, man, that's
great. But honestly, I think that's a heap of bullshit, because even when I'm looking at the examples of what's in the book, like that parents have been complaining about, it's one of the excerpts says, in some cases, people who are not ready to give birth and raise a child choose to end the pregnancy with a procedure called abortion. It's the way that it's written.
It don't seem like it's written in no type of kid-friendly terms.
It's not. It's like written as a social media post. And one of the parents said, like, I will argue that Plan B pills, how they work and how they're accessible over the counter, is not an age-appropriate information for an 11-year-old. It's not. Think about your 11-year-old thinking that now it's okay to go have sex because there's a thing called a Plan B pill, and all I have to do is just go purchase it from Walgreens.
Hey, it ain't a Plan B for AIDS.
It's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, some things should not be, especially if it's in this context. You have to ease kids into topics like that. You cannot just put that all in a book. Give them a chapter to read on their own without any type of explanation. Give them the homework assignment and not explain. And that's usually what school is. Like, they don't really thoroughly go over that stuff. And I can't imagine a teacher explaining what the fuck a Plan B is to an 11-year-old that shouldn't even be sexually active at 11. So what are y'all trying to say? Like, well, the kids are more sexually active at a younger age now, so we feel like it's appropriate to prepare them?
Nah, that's crazy.
Like, come on now. I don't know. The world, like Jordan said, the world is getting scarier and scarier, but I'm going to continue to raise mine the way I think that he should be raised. If he becomes a unicorn in the sea of these fucked up ass kids, then so be it. Because that's insane.
Big time.
That's insane. But we're going to wrap up the show, and we'll touch on it again the next show we got.
All right, guys. It's been another great episode of the D-Star Show, and we're out.
And we out.
We out. See y'all.